وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
إسلام 101.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Welcome once again to a new episode of Islam 101. And I'm your host, Abu Usama al-Dhahabi. Today, inshallah, we're going to continue our discussion concerning some of the personalities who were with the Prophet of Islam, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a previous episode, we dealt with some of the history and some of the positions of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. May Allah be pleased with him. And today we come to the second one who has to be mentioned after Abu Bakr, and that is Umar ibn al-Khattab. May Allah be pleased with him. Umar ibn al-Khattab, before we even begin, we want to stress this point and we want to share this information with you. The Muslim should know this and he should believe in this. The Prophet said about Umar radiallahu anhu and Abu Bakr, Abu Bakr wa Umar, Sayyida kuhuli ahli al-jannati min al-awwaleen wal-akhareen. إلا من النبيين والمرسلين. Abu Bakr and Umar will be the leaders, the masters, the Sayyid, the leaders, the master. They will be in the front foot, the forefront. They will be the leaders of the people of paradise. From all of the people, the past people, from the time of Adam, and the last people to come. Everyone who's in Jannah, everyone who's in paradise, Abu Bakr and Umar, from the adults, the elder people, they will be the most superior of them. The only people who will be more superior than Abu Bakr and Umar will be the prophets and the messengers. So with that being the case, the Muslim has to understand it is part of our Islamic ideology to believe that Abu Bakr and Umar are the two best human beings that were born to Adam after the prophets and the messengers. As it relates to Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, I think it's befitting and it's necessary and it's needed for us to share with you the fact that Umar radiallahu anhu was not always a Muslim and he did not take kindly to the invitation and the call of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As a matter of fact, Umar was one of his ardent enemies. Umar was an individual who used to execute the Muslims and persecute the Muslims. He was a personality and an individual that was reckoned with in the days of al-Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic times, before Rasulullah came, before Muhammad came. That is the time known as the times of al-Jahiliyyah. Umar was an individual who was well known during that time. Many people who are watching this program right now, who are sitting at the panel, they know about the famous boxer Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson, in his heyday, he was an individual, if you were going to box him in the ring, if he was your opponent in the ring, you may have lost the battle before you got in the ring because you were afraid of the man. Umar was more than that. Umar was more than that. He instilled fear in the hearts of the people. So he would have been a help for the religion of Islam if he embraced the religion. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ used to make a lot of dua. And he used to pray, Allahumma ihdi ahad al-umarain. Oh Allah, guide one of the two Umars to Islam. Either guide Umar ibn al-Khattab or guide Abu Jahl, whose name was Amr ibn Hisham to al-Islam. Allah accepted the prayer, the dua, the supplication of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he guided Umar. There are two points that I want to make very quickly concerning Umar and his history. The first point is, there is a well-known hadith that said that Umar was on his way with his sword to kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on his way, someone stopped him and said, where are you going, Umar? He said, I'm on my way to slaughter Muhammad for all of the corruption, all of the trials and tribulations he's put in us too, causing the people to reject the religion of our forefathers and dividing the son from the father and so forth and so on. I'm going to deal with him. The narration said, well, Umar, before you deal with Muhammad, you need to sort your own house out. Don't you know that your sister embraced Islam? You need to go sort it out. Umar went to his sister's house where she was reading the Quran along with her husband and someone else was in the home. And when Umar knocked on the door, the visitor took the Quran or he went into the closet and he hid. And then Umar came in and slapped his sister across the mouth and blood came out of her mouth and so forth and so on. The story is well known. I just want to share that with you because what we have to do as Muslims is we have to do a better job with making sure what is authentic spreads about our religion. And we want to get away from those things that are just hearsay or they are built upon what is not authentic. The second point that I want to mention about Umar is a point that everyone, whether you're a Muslim or a non-Muslim, you should learn from this incident that happened with Umar. Umar was an ardent enemy to al-Islam. He hated Islam and he hated the representative of al-Islam. May the peace and blessings of Allah always be upon him. He hated Islam with a passion. But then when Allah changed his heart, because the hearts are in the possession of Allah, everyone's heart is with Allah in his possession. He changes people's hearts the way he wants and the way he sees fit. So a person is a Muslim today, a non-Muslim tomorrow. A non-Muslim today, a Muslim tomorrow. He loves his wife today, he doesn't love her tomorrow. Because Allah changes the hearts. And that's why it's called the heart, because it fluctuates and it goes back and forth. إِنَّمَا سُمِّيَ الْقَلْبَ لِتَقَلُّبِهِ The heart is called the heart because it goes back and forth, it fluctuates. Anyway, when Allah guided Umar and he became a Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became the most beloved person to Rasulullah. He is the one who Umar used to look at, and Umar was more than willing and ready to give his life for Rasulullah. If anyone grabbed Rasulullah, touched Rasulullah, spoke to him in a way that wasn't acceptable, Umar was the first one to stand up to defend the Sunnah and the representative of the Sunnah. You couldn't disrespect the Sunnah or the representative of the Sunnah, and Umar was there. If someone narrated a hadith that Umar didn't know, Umar would grab you and say, where did you get that from? If someone read the Quran in the way that Umar didn't know, Umar would say, why are you doing that? He defended the Sunnah. That's how he was. But anyway, the point is that we want to share with you. From one extreme, Umar went to the other extreme. From hating Rasulullah to loving Rasulullah. So that goes to show, this is what we ask Allah for every day when we pray. And we ask Him from Surah Al-Fatiha to guide us on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, on the straight way, the middle course. Don't make us of the people who are too extreme to the right or the left. Prophet Muhammad gave us this instruction. And he said, love the one you love. Love the person you love moderately, because the day may come where he becomes your ardent enemy. And hate the person who you hate moderately, because the day may come where he becomes the one who you love the most. If you are a person who you hate a person so much, you'll find it difficult to be fair and just. You'll find it difficult to look at issues. You want to look at the religion of Al-Islam, but you have so much racism in your heart. You have so many issues in your mind, in your heart. You'll find it very difficult to come to reading about the religion with an open mind, with fairness and justice. That's a lesson from the story of Umar. As for the virtues of Umar radiallahu anhu, it should be known that Umar was one of the leaders of the Muslims, and the 12 years in which he led as the Khalifa, or the leader, the governor, the one in charge of the Muslims, they are what the scholars consider to be the golden era of al-Islam. That is the time that al-Islam spread to the four corners of the world and took over. It was during the Khilafah, or the leadership of Umar. Concerning some of his virtues, from his virtues is that we read so many hadith that the hadith tells us, as Rasulullah said, he would say, I believe in such a thing, and Abu Bakr and Umar believe. I went to such a place, and Abu Bakr and Umar went to that place. I came from such a place, and Abu Bakr and Umar came from such a place. He was always with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not to mention the fact that his daughter Hafsa, was also one of the wives of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Umar, in essence, was the father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His daughter Hafsa was the khala, or the aunt of all of the Muslims. That's from the man's virtues. From his virtue is, he gave us his son Abdullah ibn Umar. He was one of the seven companions, the young companions, who narrated the majority of the hadith. As for Umar's virtues specifically, haddith wala haraj. Umar has too many virtues. Rasulullah told Umar that he was from the muhaddithin, not the muhaddithin with a shadda and a kasra under the dal, the muhaddathun or the muhaddithin with the fatha and the shadda over the dal. For those of you who know some Arabic, what is the muhaddith? Not the one of the hadith, muhaddith. He's the one who it is as if inspiration, revelation has been given to him. It was as if Umar received inspiration from Allah. And there are people who live now who have that ability. They have this thing where they can tell you certain things and it is as if inspiration or revelation comes, but it's not revelation, it's inspiration. And therefore, he told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لو كان نبي بعدي لكان عمر. If there was a prophet who was going to come after me, it would have been Umar. He said about Umar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ما سلك عمر طريقا إلا وسلك الشيطان طريقا غير طريقي. Umar never walked down a street. He never went down a road. Never took a path. Except that shaitan went the other way. That is some power in the man's Islam and his understanding. Don't think for one minute it was the beard of shaitan that made, it was the beard of Umar that made shaitan run away and go the other way. Don't think it was the muscles of Umar that made shaitan go the other way. It was the deen of Umar, the religion of Umar, the knowledge of Umar, the taqwa of Umar, his God consciousness that caused a shaitan to know that Umar was a formidable foe. What about him being a formidable foe against those people who are not Muslims and they were doing the wrong thing, or against the Muslims who were doing the wrong thing? He was a person who did not play around when it came to the religion of Al-Islam. Umar radiallahu anhu, because of him, there were a number of ayat and a number of verses of the Quran that were revealed. For an example, and this is from his virtues as well. One time he saw our mother, Safiya bintu Huyay, may Allah be pleased with her. She was a former Jew. She was one of the leaders of the Jewish nation during that time. But she embraced Islam and she became one of the tremendous companions of Rasulullah and one of his most beloved wives and a person who we all honor, love and respect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that particular time had not revealed the ayats concerning the hijab or the dress of the Muslim woman. So Safiya was walking and she wasn't dressed totally, completely. Umar radiallahu anhu said to her, Ya Safiya, verily, I know who you are, and we'll come back, inshallah, to give you the rest of this particular story so that you can see and come to appreciate why and how so many ayat and so many ahkam, rules and regulations, were revealed because of the fiqh and the position of Umar radiallahu anhu. So stay tuned, and we look forward to seeing you again.
Islam 101.
Remember, Inside Huda is a program specially designed for you, the viewers. A program in which I'll be taking you behind the scenes to see the making of episodes, to meet the presenters, the preparers, and all those who are in charge of keeping Huda TV the best Islamic channel. Today's show is all about one special program from a very special presenter, Inspirations.
Islam 101.
Welcome back to the second episode of the virtues of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. And before the break, we were mentioning how Umar was the reason, and the fiqh and understanding of Umar was the reason for the revelation of a number of verses from the Quran, and even for a number of rules and regulations that every Muslim man and every Muslim woman is affected by. Like the story that happened with our mother Safiya bintu Huyay. May Allah have mercy upon her and be pleased with her. When she left her home in a way that wasn't befitting in the mind of Umar. Because at that time, the ayat of jihad or the ayat of hijab had not been revealed. So Umar radiallahu anha said to her, Ya Sophia, I see you and I know who you are. So be careful of how you go out. Be careful of how you present yourself. You're the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sophia took offense to that. So she turned around and she went to Rasulullah to complain about what Umar had said and about that topic and that subject that he had opened. Before she even got there, Allah revealed the ayat of the hijab, telling the Muslim women that when they go out, that they should not make the display of the times of al-jahiliyyah and how they should put on the hijab and they should put on the julbab and they should dress properly. So every Muslim man who has a wife or a daughter, every Muslim lady who is wearing the hijab and he takes the honor from the fact that his wife is mastura, she's covered, we owe that gratitude to Umar radiallahu anhu from amongst the people who we owe gratitude to. So every Muslim woman, she should look at Umar radiallahu anhu as being one of the people and one of the reasons why the hijab was revealed. And that is a clear indication and example of the ghira or the jealousy of Umar, especially that he had over the wives of the believers. And there are too many examples. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw in a dream that he had came close to a castle. And on the side of the castle, there were some women making wudu. They were making the ablution like we make for salat. And they pulled up their shirts and their arms were exposed. So he was telling the companions about the dream the next day at Fajr, at their morning prayer. And then the Prophet said, I asked those people, those women who were making the wudu, whose castle is this? They said, this is the castle of Umar ibn al-Khattab. Rasulullah ﷺ said, upon hearing that, he began to run away hurriedly to get away from the castle. Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, why did you run away from my castle? Why didn't you look in the castle? Maybe you could have told me what I'm going to have inside of the castle. Rasulullah said, Ya Umar, I remember your jealousy for your women. I remember your jealousy for your women. So many Muslim men, alhamdulillah, many Muslim young boys, we love and we respect and we honor the personality of Umar. And for some reason, there are certain aspects of his personality that we leave out. We don't embellish them. We don't magnify them. Like the jealousy that he had for his women folk. This is an example that we should take from the history and the stories of Umar radiallahu anhu. Not to mention that there are too many countless other examples when the Muslims waged the battle against the non-Muslims in the Battle of Badr, and it was time to take the spoils of war, and it was time to deal with the captives of the battle. Rasulullah, he asked Abu Bakr, what do you think? Abu Bakr said, we should ransom them and get the money back from them. They are our relatives, let's send them back. He said, what do you think, Umar? Umar said, we should deal with them justly, Ya Rasulullah. We should deal with them very severely. These people tried to extinguish the light of Al-Islam. So therefore, you should take so-and-so your relative, Abu Bakr should take so-and-so his relative, and I should take so-and-so my relative, and we should deal with them because they tried to extinguish the light of Al-Islam. Allah's Prophet took the position of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, and Allah revealed the Quran saying what Umar's position was the correct position. And there are a number of other tremendous stories that tell us about the virtues and the superiority of Umar radiallahu anhu. He is the best human being after all of the prophets, after all of the messengers, and after Abu Bakr. And he was the second Khalifa after Abu Bakr. And the reason why he was the second Khalifa is because he was the most qualified and the most competent of all of the companions and the most knowledgeable and the most God-fearing after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So the companions, in choosing him to be the Khalifa, when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu chose him to be the Khalifa, this was the best thing that could have been done. And the Ummah benefited from it as a result of his being chosen as the Khalifa and his 12 years being at the realm, being at the helm of the Islamic society, caused what was come to become known as the golden years of the religion of Islam. We're going to stop here now, inshallah, and we're going to address some of the questions or comments or issues that our panel has. So if you guys want to interject something or ask a question, you can. You have anything?
Yeah, my question concerning Abu Bakr. After the death of Prophet, did all his companions accept Abu Bakr as leader, or there was someone else who led
the Muslims? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it wasn't a clear statement or command from Allah or his Prophet that Abu Bakr should be the leader. So the companions had a small difference of opinion. Those Muslims from the Ansar, from the Ansar, those people who accepted Islam and they lived in Medina, they said, we're going to choose a leader from amongst ourselves. And you people from Mecca, the Muhajireen, you people choose a leader for yourselves. Abu Bakr and Umar, they went to those people and they said, no, this is not acceptable. Because Rasulullah said, the leader of the Muslims should be from the Muhajireen. They are the Umara, they are the leaders. And you people from the Ansar, you are the Wuzara, you are the ministers. When the Ansar, the people of Medina, when they heard that statement, they didn't argue and they didn't fight with the Quran and the Sunnah. They just gave up and they submitted. But you have to take a look. Who was it that brought that truth to them? Abu Bakr and Umar. So that's from the virtues of Abu Bakr and the virtues of Umar radiallahu anhu. So after that, Umar said, I nominate Abu Bakr to be the leader. He's the best from amongst us. And then all of the people who fell in line and they followed suit. So the virtues of Abu Bakr and Umar, they come clear to us once again in this tremendous hadith. You have something, Nick?
Well, I'd like to ask you, was there any hierarchy among companions of Prophet? Or they were equal? For example, you said that Abu Bakr was the most loved and it was Sunnah. And how was that?
Yeah, there is a hierarchy, if we can use that term very loosely. All of the companions are not equal. Abu Bakr is the best and the greatest companion. And then Umar is the best and the greatest companion after him. And then Uthman is the best and the greatest companion after him. In Sahih al-Bukhari, there is a child or a young man by the name of Muhammad al-Hanafiya. Muhammad al-Hanafiya. He was the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib. But he was a son to Ali from other than Fatima, for those of you who know those personalities. He came to his father Ali and he said, Ya Abi, O father, who is the best person after Abu Bakr, after Rasulullah? Ali said, Abu Bakr. The boy said, and then who's the best after Abu Bakr? He said, and then Umar. The boy knew that the companions considered Uthman the best after Umar. So the boy said, and then you are the best one after Uthman, Ya Abi? His father Ali said, no, I'm just a regular man from the Muslims. So why did he say that? Why did the boy say, and then you? Because it was a well-known fact amongst the companions, as Abdullah ibn Umar said, we used to consider during the time of Rasulullah that Abu Bakr was the best, and then Umar was the best, and then Uthman was the best. And then after Uthman, there comes Ali. Those are the four best of the companions. And then after them, people have their virtues. The Muhajireen are better than the Ansar. The people of Badr, the ones who participated in the battle of Badr, are better than those who didn't participate in the battle of Badr, and so forth and so on. Those people were from Ahlul Bayt, the relatives of Rasulullah. They had their special position. So there is a hierarchy, but the hierarchy is basically those first four companions, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali. May Allah be pleased with all of them. Abdullah.
Abu Bakr was the best person after the Prophet. And Umar, the best person after Abu Bakr. Why do we still find people cursing them?
That's an excellent question. Allah has mentioned about the companions in the Quran in so many ayahs. And we still find people, despite this, they curse Abu Bakr and Umar. Allah mentioned at the end of one ayah in which he prays the Muhajireen, those Muhajirun are the ones who are truthful. Someone comes and says that, no, they're kuffar. Abu Bakr and Umar were from the Muhajireen. Those people migrated from Mecca to Medina. So that person, Allah says something in the Quran, and a person who's claiming Islam says, no, they're kuffar. Allah said some good things about the people from the Ansar in Medina. وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّؤُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ All the way to the end of that ayah. At the end of it, Allah said in that ayah, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ Allah called them the successful ones, the muflihun. These people come and say, no, they're not successful. They have deviated and apostated from the religion. So why do they do that? They do that in trying to be fair and honest and just. One of the reasons why they do it is, Akhi Abdullah, if you were to gather all of the virtues of Ali together from the books of hadith, the virtues in the hadith that talk good about Ali are more than the hadith that talk good about any other companion. But the hadith that talk about the virtues of Abu Bakr, they are clear in saying Abu Bakr is the best. So that's one of the reasons. that the people don't have understanding. But I think really the main reason is because of politics, what happened in the past, what's happening now, and ultimately it's because Allah didn't want to guide those individuals. As I said, as I mentioned to you, a person who is very close to one of us, like our mothers, our biological mothers. My mother is close to me. I love my mother. She loves me. If someone came and started to curse my mother, and they started to say that my mother, she was a lewd woman, and my mother, she was this, she's a liar, she's that, I'm going to take offense to that, and I'm going to defend the honor of my mother. But my mother is not a Muslim. So if she doesn't embrace the religion of Islam, she's going to go to the hellfire. Whereas Rasulullah's wives are our mothers. The Prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves. And his wives are their mothers. And Allah is pleased with them. So how are we going to accept people coming and they're going to say that Aisha was committing adultery? Abu Bakr and Umar were homosexuals. Wallahi, it makes the hat on my head want to spin around like that, that someone would say such a thing. Because when you make that particular claim, before you hurt Abu Bakr or Umar, when you make such a claim, you hurt Rasulullah first. Because a claim would suggest Rasulullah didn't know who was around him. He married women who are non-Muslims. He had friends around him who wrote the Quran, the revelation, and they're non-Muslims. He put them in charge of the battle and they're non-Muslims. So that is a terrible statement. So we're going to stop here. Finding and hoping what we put forth is sufficient, inshallah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, put us on the path and on the way of Abu Bakr and Umar. And may He put them both together in the Jannah for those in the highest part of the paradise. And we hope to see you, inshallah, in the upcoming episodes. Wassalamu ala min ittaba al-huda.